Hello and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I'm your host, Thais Gibson, and I create regular podcast episodes to teach you about your relationships, attachment style, and the subconscious mind. My goal of this podcast is to give you tools and awareness you need to thrive in your relationships, feel deeply connected, and find harmony and fulfillment in your relationships and personal life. So I hope you tune in here with me each and every week. If you have an avoidant person in your life who you really value the relationship with and finding yourself feeling almost desperate at times to really get seen or heard or be understood by your partner, but also be able to resolve conflict in a way that works for them too. Well, if this is something you're struggling with, in today's video, we are going to talk about a really powerful three-step solution with some bonus tips for how to thrive at communication with an avoidant partner. And if you stick around to the end, we'll actually talk about a bit of an exercise we can go through together for how to really create this mastery in your communication patterns with this loved one. So what you'll see here is we're going to talk about this tool that you can use. It's kind of a three-step tool that I would use a lot actually with clients in practice originally. And my goal here for you is to be able to walk away with a really clear understanding of how to thrive when in communication with somebody who has a totally different attachment style than you, but how to really make it not so difficult. So a few things you need to know first about the dismissive avoidant. Dismissive avoidants tend to have a lot of conditioning in their childhood that basically shows to them everybody's responsible for themselves. So they tend to grow up in a situation where they think, I'm responsible for my needs, you're responsible for yours, and every so often we'll come together and kind of connect in a relationship dynamic. But the reality is that we're looking for interdependence in our healthy, secure relationships, meaning, yes, I'm responsible for my own needs, but I can lean on you, and I can receive support and love and care from you, and you are also responsible for your life, but you can lean on me and have you can receive support and care and love from me as well. And healthy interdependency means that we can meet our own needs, but also get our needs met from others. And that there's a really healthy mastery and quite a good balance of both ends of that continuum. So, you know, a dismissive avoidant, because their conditioning was usually such that they were modeled to live in this like hyper-independent sort of upbringing where, you know, if they had an issue or something they were going through emotionally, they were basically taught, hey, you go take care of that over here. I'm busy with my own stuff over here. And essentially, as a result of all of this, they grow up thinking everybody's supposed to just be responsible for themselves. So they miss that kind of interdependent piece, and they land more in this hyper-independent or counter-dependent dynamic instead, which of course, then we have this side of the continuum, which is codependency, which is this belief that like, I'm only going to meet your needs, you're only going to meet mine, and we don't rely on ourselves at all. And there's tremendous amounts of downsides for that because it creates a lot of resentment, the expectation of mind reading, etc. But anyways, we really want that interdependent middle ground. Another thing you need to know when communicating to an avoidant is that they are easily wounded by criticism. They may not show this to you or share this with you outright, but they, because they're so stoic, right? They tend to really kind of keep their emotions to themselves, but they really do take criticism largely to heart. They tend to personalize it. It cuts deep for them. And this causes them to often pull away if they're feeling criticized in a relationship. And they also get into this space of learned helplessness with communication. They often believe things like, I'm just not capable. I'm not cut out for this kind of thing. Maybe relationships aren't for me. And it really represents that they're in a space where they don't feel like they know what to do, but they don't know what to do instead. And it's almost like if you've ever had an experience of wanting a goal for yourself, you know, maybe you have like a career goal, but you don't know how to get there. So you find yourself not taking action. And then maybe even just telling a story, like maybe that's not for me. Maybe that's not the right career. Dismissive avoidance sometimes get into that line of thinking with relationships where they'll be like, well, I don't know how to do what this person's asking or how to meet their needs. So maybe relationships just aren't for me, but they often don't realize that there's just kind of the unknowns in here where they don't have the steps or the modeling to be able to communicate and work through problems. So when it comes to really wanting to thrive at communication, these three steps may sound pretty easy and small, but they make a massive difference. Massive impact, but you have to be good at them and consistent at them. So they have to be this actual like application you show up and you do. I'm going to give you some examples of each of these. So the first thing is when you need something, communicate directly and in the positive, right? Think of the difference between you never ABC, like You never spend enough time with me. You never text me back. You never show up. You never care enough about me. Versus, I love spending time with you. You know, I really enjoy our time together. I'd love to hang out more often. Obviously, you saying I love spending time with you is going to matter, like, how far you are in the relationship. Are you like a year in, 2 years in, or are you like 3 weeks in? You may be like, hey, I'm really enjoying spending time with you. I'd love to spend more time together. Let's plan a fun date night this week, right? So you want to communicate in the positive. I loved, I like, I really enjoy. Can we do more of? That is something that actually subverts this part here that they tend to be wounded by criticism. You may think that saying something like, you never spend enough time with me, isn't that critical, but avoidance take this as criticism. They really take this kind of communication to heart. And it can also trigger this part where then they feel like, oh, I'm helpless. Like, I don't know if I'm able to give this person what they need. And so they may kind of pull away more and more. So by saying things like, I would love for us to, I like when we, I appreciate and want to do more of, you know, and then fill in the blank after, you're actually able to communicate in a way that's not going to be blocked off by these two earlier challenges that avoidance often experience. Another big thing that really taps into this learned helplessness part, where it's kind of this confusion because they weren't modeled a lot of these like give and exchange interdependent ways of communicating and connecting growing up, is to give really clear and specific examples. So, you know, if you tell somebody, and I would see this all the time in my client practice, I say this all the time, probably on this channel as well, but I would often see a couple, let's say, for example, the first example that comes to mind is this husband and wife that came in 1 week and they were there to work on their attachment issues. And she was anxious. He was dismissive, avoidant. And she said, I need more support in the relationship. So they left, they went home, they came back the next week and she couldn't wait to sit down and say, my husband didn't support me at all this week, even though we said that he would. And the look on his face when she said that was like, he was so shocked. And you could tell he was like really frustrated. And he was like, what do you mean? Like, I did all the chores. I took out the garbage, I did the laundry, and he starts reciting off all these things. And you could see her kind of like adjusting. And she went, well, for me, support isn't chores. For me, support is like validation and encouragement. And so, you know, when we don't communicate clearly and specifically, it's not even just that there can be a learned helplessness part on the DA side, but it's sometimes that like what you need and what you would classify as of something, a need being met, like support, may actually have the person in the relationship with you may have a totally different relationship to that need and how they perceive it being met. So it's really important that you give specific, tangible examples and even try to paint a picture of what that would look like. So, you know, I really want more support. You may start off by saying, I really love where this is going. I notice that when I get a support from you, it's really meaningful. I would love more of that in our relationship. And then you would say, for me, support looks like ABC, right? For me, support looks like validation, affirmation, encouragement. And you don't have to come up with three things. You can just say one. You can say, for me, support is reassurance or validation. Or if it's, you know, chores and things around the house, you would say that.
Unlock your potential with over 65 on-demand courses with easy-to-master reprogramming concepts and free online events, weekly webinars, and Q&As. All of this and more included in an all-access pass to the Personal Development School. Sign up and get 50% off and gain cutting-edge tools and strategies for just $149 quarterly. Don't miss out. This offer ends soon.
Part C here is to see your needs through. And what do I mean by see your needs through? Well, I think that it's very easy when we're not used to communicating our needs to think that because we told somebody a need once that they have to remember forever. And it's a really self-defeating belief. You know, you may think, well, I told this person once that I wanted to spend more quality time. Maybe you saw a positive moving of the needle where there was an impact on quality time and there was more quality time spent for 3 to 6 weeks. And then the quality time started dropping back down. And you may say, oh, I'm never, you know, saying that I need quality time again. They should always remember if they care about me, if they love me. But the actual reality is that all of our programming is different, okay? Based on our individual and unique attachment styles, we tend to expect different things in relationships, like how much time we should spend together. We have different needs. We have a different sort of viewpoint and perception that's preconditioned in us subconsciously from what we saw in our upbringing and how that affected each of our own unique attachment dynamics. That from that perception, we expect different things from people. We think that relationships should look different from each other. So it's actually not a normal, I don't want to say not normal. It's not expected. It's not possible, I guess I would say, for somebody to be in a position where, like, because they hear your need once, that they're going to naturally remember it forever. Yes, some people are really good at stuff like this. They can really double down. But as more time passes, we're more likely to revert back to our old programs and perceptions for what we think a relationship should look like based on how we were conditioned and what our attachment style is. So if you share a need and then you see the person not showing up as much after a while, you have to see your needs through. It's the only way that this conditioning changes is through repetition, is how the subconscious gets reprogrammed. So if an avoidant, their conditioning might be to think that somebody in a loving relationship sees each other once a week, and maybe twice a week is your bare minimum. Maybe you communicate that. You see each other twice a week for 6 to 8 weeks. Everything's going well, but then it starts drifting back to once a week. You have to actually show up and repeat, hey, remember, twice a week's really important to me. Now, there's obviously a big difference if somebody, you know, you have that conversation the first time and they say, I'm unwilling to try anything for you in the relationship, and they never try to see you more than once a week. Obviously, that's a different discussion. That may be like an incompatibility issue, somebody who's not willing to compromise. That could make them like really unavailable for the type of relationship you are looking for. But when we're seeing progress, we're seeing the needle move, we're seeing the effort, but then we see every so often it starts moving backwards. We just have to push through, communicate again. And it's how we'll keep that momentum until that becomes the new normal, because that person naturally sees and understands that about us in the relationship. And through repetition over time, their perception of what they know or expect the relationship to look like will change out of what it was from their childhood conditioning. So hopefully that makes sense, because it's a really important thing. And if you feel scared to you know, share your needs again, then you may want to work through your own core wounds around vulnerability, right? Oh no, I'm a burden if I share my needs, or oh no, I'll be abandoned if I share my needs or take up too much space, or I'm unloved if somebody doesn't remember my needs forever. These can just be core wounds that are from our own individual traumas and pain points that we're projecting onto these situations. Another couple things in here is that we really need to make sure that when you're in a position, and I sort of put this in here as well in that context, but when you're in a position where you're seeing an avoidant be triggered by something, if you do see this in communication as a whole, then when they are triggered, it can be useful to say, hey, I get why you're upset. I see where you're coming from, to just validate their feelings. They don't like to have their feelings validated too directly. Like, I see that you're so sad, because it feels too vulnerable and they're trying to avoid that vulnerability. But it can be meaningful to hear like, hey, I get that that didn't land well for you, or I understand that that's uncomfortable. You know, things like that, if you're in a conflict, it actually helps an avoidant feel more seen, more emotionally safe. They tend to move ahead in this sort of dynamic as a result of feeling more emotionally safe. Even though you may not notice instantaneously when you do it, having these as patterns in conflict situations in a relationship with an avoidant can go a very long way. And the last thing I'll say here is, if you're getting stonewalled by an avoidant, call it out. You know, you have to address it. You can't just like walk on eggshells around it and go, oh, it's fine that I'm being stonewalled. Stonewalling's not healthy, right? It's not a good coping mechanism. But we have to do it kindly. So, you know, if that happened to me, for example, and I was being stonewalled, what I would do is I would say to the avoidant directly, I would say, hey, you know, I really want to resolve this conflict that we're in. I feel like you're kind of icing me out. And I understand you might need space. I respect that. But I also need to know that you're going to come back and be willing to have a conversation in a healthy way where we can work through it when you're ready. Does that make sense for you? And are you on board? And that way, I'm calling it out. I'm saying it's not okay. You know, we need to have a healthy conversation. I'm not going to pressure you to do it in this very second on my time only. I can be considerate to your time too, but I need to know what's going to happen in a reasonable amount of time, right? So we need to have that balance. And that's the secure approach to this. It's healthy assertiveness. That's really what healthy assertiveness is. So hopefully these will give you some really powerful tools for how to thrive in communication with an avoidant.